Welcome to the podcast of First Baptist Church of Robbinsville. Thank you for joining us. We trust that the teaching of God's Word will speak to you.
Good morning to you all once again. It is great to see you here, and I know this is such a strange season that we live in, but it is a great encouragement to be able to gather with you all together and to study the Word together this morning. Now, I know for some of you, this week has been a very fun week. I think of Bruce and Bay, who became grandparents for the first time this week. So some of you have experienced great highs in life this week. And for others of you, I know that this week maybe has been extremely challenging. Maybe this week there is something that's happened in your life that has been hard, something that you never expected to have to go through, and this week you found yourself in that situation. Well, our prayer for you this morning is that just like that last song said, regardless of what you're going through in your life, we hope that today you leave knowing more than ever how radically loved and valued you are by God. Amen. Our greatest desire for you is that you would know that there is a God in heaven and there are people in this room who love you and who so desire for you to experience the abundant, great life that God has for you. I want to start out this morning by telling you a little bit about my week. This week was a hard week for me, honestly. It was a week where I kind of had some wrestling matches with the Lord because he taught me a lot about myself this week. And really, what I saw was not something I was really excited to see. You have those seasons of life where you're very busy, where there's a lot going on, and maybe there's a lot of distractions, and just you're feeling pressure from a lot of different areas. And, you know, there's people respond differently to those kind of circumstances. Some people, all the pressures and all the distractions really just overwhelm you and you just kind of shut down. Others of you, you really kind of thrive in that setting. You love having to juggle. You love having to figure out, how am I going to pull all this together? And it's kind of like a challenge and you really like it. Well, I'm more of that latter kind of guy. I really enjoy kind of the challenge of, okay, this is really overwhelming, but we're going to get through this, and how are we going to do this? And I've really always kind of taken pride in my ability to juggle a lot of different things and to figure out how to manage kind of chaos. But this week, I started to feel really tired. I started to feel very physically and spiritually and emotionally empty. And I don't know if you see, when I kind of shared my story, if you see the problem, but there was a whole lot of I statements in there. There was a lot of statements about me and my abilities and my strengths and my personality and what I can manage. And what God revealed to me this week, that as long as I continue to rely on myself, I'm going to be exhausted. I'm going to be empty. I'm going to be frustrated. I'm going to be searching for this abundant life we talk about that I really just didn't feel like I was experiencing this week. And so this week, the Lord showed me that that is not an area that he wants me to be proud of, but really that's an area that I need to repent of and say, God, this is foolish. And really, it was this text that helped me to come to that conclusion. And so I hope that today this will help you as well. Because when things are chaotic, when I feel really busy, one of the first things I put aside is my focused time with the Lord, right? Because that time of prayer and that time of silence with the Lord feels very unproductive. When you know there's a lot to accomplish in a day, that just doesn't seem like it's really getting you anywhere. But when that's the first thing to go, I'm cutting off access to all this strength and power that God wants to give to me. And so then I face the chaos and the busyness of my day under my own strength, and it never ends well. I can manage pretty well. I can get through a day, but when I get home and I see my family and my kids and the needs of other people, I'm responding in my own strength. It does not go well. And so God is asking me to not rely on my own strength, but on his strength that doesn't exhaust, that doesn't run out, that continues to love and be poured out regardless of how I'm feeling. And so I know all this stuff to be true. Before this week, I already knew that my relationship with God has to be my first priority. I already knew that I need to rely on him for his strength and not my own. But there was a great disconnect between what I knew to be true and what I really believed in my heart and the way that I really shaped and modeled my days. Even though I knew those things were true, I wasn't living my life in such a way that says these are foundational truths that I want to build my life upon. And so I came to this conclusion that mental knowledge of truth is important, but by itself, it is not transformative. Okay? If God is wanting to transform me into this experience of this abundant life that he has for me, mental knowledge alone will never get me there. Instead, I need something else for that knowledge to become transformative in my life. Let me give you an example of this. When I was probably in like seventh grade, I lived in Indiana, and Indiana is a basketball state, right? I know you all got football down here. We had basketball up in Indiana. And so seventh or eighth grade, I was going to this basketball camp, and this guy came to give this speech. When he was in seventh or eighth grade, he got cut from his local team, and he said, you know, I am going to dedicate myself to basketball, and I'm going to get a college scholarship for basketball. And so this guy was giving this speech, and the whole time he was talking, he was sitting there shooting free throws. The entire speech, he shot free throws, and he never missed a single free throw. Now, this guy was talking for a while. He shot and made over 100 free throws in a row. Now, I was really blown away by this guy's story. Because the truth I just learned is that I can, even if I'm not great at basketball in seventh grade, if I really work at it, I can eventually make it. And if I really work at free throws, eventually I could make 100 in a row because this guy did. And so, you know, he has us write down our goals and stuff. So I write down these goals. You know, I'm going to be a high school McDonald's All-American basketball player. I'm going to make 100 free throws in a row. Now, for those of you who have seen my jump shot, I'm going to let you guess on if that actually came true or not. But it didn't, okay? Because even though I knew it's possible, this could have been my story. There's a lot of dedication that I was not really ready to put into that, right? I saw this guy's story, but I didn't see the thousands of hours he put in the gym. I didn't see the every morning he woke up at 5:30 before school to go shoot free throws. I didn't see that stuff. And so even though I said in my mind, I want to be that guy, this is my desire, there was nothing that changed in my way of thinking, right? I didn't start to change my priorities. I didn't start to change how I was going to structure my day, and I definitely didn't change the patterns of my life. I just wanted to keep doing what I was doing and wake up one day and be great. But it doesn't happen that way. And so until this knowledge, and when we do the same thing with Scripture, we have this knowledge of truth. But until we take that truth and actually begin to allow it to change the way that we think and to reprioritize our day and the rhythms of our life, we will never be transformed by the truth that God has for us. And all of these riches and abundance that God wants for you are going to be some distant thing that you just never feel like you can quite grasp. So we're going to look at Ephesians chapter 1 today, if you want to go ahead and turn there. And in Ephesians chapter 1, Paul prays a courageous prayer for this church. He wanted this church to be transformed by the knowledge that they had. He didn't want them to just be very educated people. He wanted them to be people who are deeply and profoundly transformed by truth. So if you want to read along, Ephesians chapter 1, starting in verse 15, says this. Therefore I also, after I heard of your faith in the Lord Jesus and your love for all the saints, do not cease to give thanks for you, making mention of you in my prayers, that the God of our Lord Jesus Christ, the Father of glory, may give to you the spirit of wisdom and revelation in the knowledge of him, the eyes of your understanding being enlightened, that you may know what is the hope of his calling? What are the riches of the glory of his inheritance in the saints? And what is the exceeding greatness of his power toward us who believe, according to the working of his mighty power, which he worked in Christ when he raised him from the dead and seated him at his right hand in the heavenly places, far above all principality and power and might and dominion, and every name that is named, not only in this age, but also in that which is to come. And he put all things under his feet and gave him to be the head over all things to the church, which is his body, the fullness of him who fills all in all. Let's pray. Father, there is a lot in this text, and there is a lot of ways that we can struggle to understand it, and it's a very profound statement of Scripture. And Father, I pray today that you would help us to deeply grasp the riches that you have made available to us. Father, that these truths that we maybe have never heard, or maybe these truths are things we're very familiar with, but God, I pray that you would help us to take those things and apply them so deeply to our life that they change the way we think about you and we think about ourselves, and they change the way that we live and interact with this world. Father, thank you for being a good God who desires great things for us. I pray, God, that you would help us today to experience more of who you really are. In your name we pray. Amen. So I want to start out with this kind of question. Who can access God's transformative riches, okay? If we want to experience this abundant life, who can really do that? And we see that in verse 15. In verse 15, as Paul starts his prayer, he says, I also, after I heard of your faith in the Lord Jesus and your love for all the saints. So that he's telling us here, there's two things that are true about these people he's praying for. They've placed their faith in Christ, and they are diligent, and they love all the saints. So I want to talk about those two things, because these have to be true in our life if we want to be able to deeply experience God's transformative riches. The first thing, they were believers in Christ. So what that means is that these people had transferred their, you know, their way of thinking that says, I can get to God under my own strength and merit. And they have now believed in the death, burial, and resurrection of Christ as the only way that they can get to heaven. These people now recognize that it's only by God's grace that I can have a relationship with him. There is nothing in my life that makes me worthy of a relationship with God, but his grace reached down to me in my brokenness and offered me the gift of his son. So his innocent son died for us. He took our brokenness, our poverty, so that we could experience his righteousness and his abundant riches. So these people had believed that. And that's really important, because when you look up back in verse 13 of chapter 1, it says this, in him you also trusted, that's Christ, after you heard the word of truth, the gospel of your salvation, in whom also having believed, you were sealed with the Holy Spirit of promise. So this incredibly important thing happens. The moment someone places their faith in the death, burial, and resurrection of Christ, they are eternally sealed with God's Holy Spirit. Okay, no matter how bad you blow it, his Spirit is still with you. He will never, ever leave you. And that's important as we look at verse 15, this second part, that these people were believers, and they also had love for all the saints. Now, this idea of the Holy Spirit indwelling us is important, because without the Holy Spirit, it's impossible for us to have love for all the saints, right? Because then it puts us back into this thing of me trying really hard to love you. And if I try really hard to love you, I'm going to fall very short. But if I'm allowing the Holy Spirit who lives inside of me to display his fruit in my life, I can love all of you. Because look at who these people loved. It says they loved all the saints. Now, in our day, saint is like super Christian or like some very unique person, right? Like, we don't really use the term saint very often. But in when the Bible was written, saint was just another term for Christian, okay? This is a believer. So this is not just a super Christian. This is all believers. And that little word in that verse really gets to us, right? They had love for all the saints. Now, if you're being honest, there may be somebody in this room right now that you struggle to love. Because even though we're brothers and sisters in Christ, it doesn't mean that we just all naturally are going to be drawn to one another and naturally love one another. But when we try to serve and to love out of our own love, what happens is division and strife and racism and chaos. But when we allow the Spirit to love through us, what happens is we can have love for all the saints. So if I want to experience God's abundant riches that he wants for me to have, it's only available when I'm allowing the Spirit to do the work he wants to do in my life. Okay? And the Spirit is actively trying to do that work in my life, but it's very easy for me to tell him, I don't want you to do that. That's what happened to me this week. The Spirit was trying to remind me, you've got to lean on the Lord for your strength. And I'm here saying, I think I got this. I think I can manage this on my own. I know it's chaotic, but I don't have time for the Lord right now. I've got to get on with my day to get on, because I've got a lot to accomplish. I cut off the Spirit's work in my life, and we do that on a very regular and easy daily basis. So this is the kind of person who can experience these abundant blessings that God has for them. So now I want to look at, this passage gives us three really rich truths that are very foundational, important for us if we want to live a transformed life, okay? These things that maybe you read these, and maybe as we read that, they didn't step out to you, but these things are critically important and things that you really have to know before they can start to really impact your life. And we see those starting in verse 18. That you may know what is the hope of his calling. Now, maybe that just doesn't jump out to you because it's something you kind of got to wrestle with. But you see here, what it's telling us is that God has called us to something, right? The hope of his calling. So God has called us to something. And Paul wants these people to understand the hope that they have available because of what God has called them to. Okay? Now, this is kind of hard because that's all he says about it in this verse, and that seems pretty vague. But there's another letter that Paul wrote where he really dove into this idea, and it's 1 Corinthians chapter 1. This is what he's talking about. He says, "For you see your calling, brethren, that not many wise according to the flesh, not many mighty, not many noble are called. But God has chosen the foolish things of the world to put to shame the wise. And God has chosen the weak things of the world to put to shame the things which are mighty. And the base things of the world and the things which are despised, God has chosen. And the things which are not, to bring to nothing the things that are, that no flesh should glory in his presence." So you see, if you have placed your faith in Christ, he has called you to something really remarkable. In this verse, he has called us to expose the brokenness and the darkness and the hopelessness of this world. He has called us, like we talked about from our last sermon series in John 17, he's called us to display his glory to a broken world so that people who are without hope can look to your life and know this person can offer me something because of their relationship with Christ. But look at the kind of people that God chooses to use, right? If this is talking about us, this is not really flattering, right? This isn't one of those things you read and just, man, I feel so good about myself. I'm weak, I'm base, I'm despised, I'm ignorant, whatever. This is not something that you really want to put on your fridge and just think about every morning. But there is a truth here that is extremely important to us. This is a truth we need to know. What is this foundational truth? That you are valued despite your weakness. Okay? There's this lie that we believe that says what gives me value is my strength. What makes me valuable to the world is what I can offer. God is saying no. What makes you valuable is that you are weak and that I chose to call you to something special. This has nothing to do with you. This has all to do with God's grace. Now, this is a very freeing thing because we fight and we strive to prove that we matter, right? That's what I was doing this week. When I say, I've got this, I'm going to manage all of these things and impress people with all that I can manage and how well I can do things. I'm trying to prove to myself that I matter because of the strengths that I have. But God says that is not where your value comes from. Your value does not come from the strengths that you have. Your value comes from the fact that God in his grace has chosen to call you to be part of something very, very special. So this truth, we have to know this, and we have to know it deeply in our lives in order to be transformed. We see verse 18 continues on. "That you may know the hope of his calling and what are the riches of the glory of his inheritance in the saints." Now, again, this is a kind of a phrasey, it's a wordy phrase and a little bit challenging to understand, but the one thing I really want you to look at is whose inheritance is he talking about? When we see the word inheritance in the Bible, we naturally think of our inheritance, what we're going to get one day if we live a good life, what we're going to get in heaven, what we're going to experience for our good works. Paul's not talking about that. Verse 18 says, "What are the riches of the glory of his inheritance in the saints?" This is talking about God's inheritance, not yours. Now, let me kind of explain this to you for a minute. Who knows, you know, Jeff Bezos, he's the owner and founder of Amazon, right? And a lot of financial magazines and stuff expect that he's going to be the first trillionaire our world has ever seen, okay? I don't know what your bank account looks like. The idea of having $1 trillion is very hard to grasp. But I want you to think about something right now. What if you were Jeff's kid and it's Christmas time? What do you buy for the owner of Amazon, right? If you said, you know, I want to blow my dad's mind this year. I want to get him something that he's going to open it and just be like, oh, this is exactly what I wanted. This is incredible. Thank you so much. What do you get for the guy who owns Amazon, right? As hard as that would be, I want you to think about this. What do you get for the God who created the universe? What inheritance would God have that he just says, that is exactly what I've always wanted? Now, there's this kids book that I love, and 2 weeks in a row we've been talking about kids books, so you can see what's going on in Rance and I's lives. This book is called Good, Good Father, and it's written by Chris Tomlin, the guy who wrote the song Good, Good Father. And in this story, there's this little bear whose town is in trouble. And they know there's this great king who's out there, and this king wants to help they know that this king will help people who are struggling. And so this little bear sets off on this journey to find the king. But on his way, he's really nervous because he says, I'm about to show up to see the king, and I don't have a gift for him. What should I give for this king so that he will do what I want him to do? And so all along the way, he meets different people. And some people say, here's an instrument so that you can play music for him and he'll be impressed. Here's this big sword so that you can show how tough and strong you are. And the little bear is just so nervous when he finally gets to the king because he doesn't know what to give the king. And then there's this interaction where the king looks at this little bear and he says, you have brought me exactly what I wanted. And the little bear looks at him confused. He said, you were confused and broken, and you came to me. You brought me yourself. You are exactly what I want. You are the inheritance that I'm looking for. I don't need your skills. I don't need your strengths. I want you. Do you know the inheritance that God is looking forward to and the inheritance that the Father delights in and is excited about? It's you. Every person who has placed their faith in the death, burial, and resurrection of Christ and is now one of his children is this glorious saint that God the Father is excited to receive one day. Now, I don't know if that's what naturally comes to your mind when you think about how God relates to you. But this is a truth we need to know, that God delights in you, not just what you do for him. This is a strong and easy trap to fall into. Because it is everybody else in our life values us for what we offer to them. God delights not in what we offer, but in who we are. So yes, there are times where we can grieve God. There are times where we choose to rebel against him. We break his heart. But at the end of the day, you are still his eternal child, and he is longing for that day where he will be with you forever. You are God's glorious inheritance. And so we learn here that my value is not dependent on my strengths, and God's delight is not dependent on what I do for him. And there's one final thing we see in verse 19. Another truth we need to know. And what is the exceeding greatness of his power towards us who believe? Okay, so now he's offering us this new reality that's available to us. That God is wanting to give us of his abundant power. Okay, now, as we think about this, this is really an incredible truth. This week, I was struggling wanting to live under my own power. Okay, now think about how illogical this sounds. This is what I did this week. God, I'm so busy today. I've got to get going with my day. I don't have time to come to you as the source of all power who wants to give me your glorious power. I've got to get on with my day. Do you hear how crazy that sounds? What about a relationship that is struggling and you don't know what to do in this relationship and you're racking your brain about it and you're struggling to know, how do I move forward in this broken relationship? And we're so busy trying to figure it out. And over here is the God who created both of these people, who created relationships. And we say, God, I'm so focused on trying to fix this. I don't even have time for you right now. That sounds crazy when we put it that way, but that is what we do to God on a frequent basis. Right? The illustration I thought of with this, it's like I'm trying to cut down this giant oak tree, and I've got a little pocket knife, and I'm going to town on this thing. And right behind me is this giant chainsaw, okay? And I'm sitting there saying, I'm so dedicated to working hard with my pocket knife, I don't have time to stop and start that thing. Okay? That is what we do when we ignore God and the power that he wants to give to us. We strive, and we fight, and we struggle, and we're doing it out of a good heart. God, I'm working hard for you. I want to cut down this tree. I'm not going to stop. I'm going to sweat. I'm going to get bruises. I'm going to keep going. Did he say, do you see what's available to you? Why are you fighting with that thing? This is not how our relationship works. I'm offering to you my unlimited power to accomplish the things that I have called you to do. Don't get distracted by what we so often miss. So this is the foundational truth we need to know, that God makes his power available to you. So maybe right now you feel completely lost on how to wisely respond to a circumstance you're going through in your life. You don't have to do it alone. God does not want you to figure this out on your own. He wants you to rely on him in a deeper way than you ever have, because he is your good father who wants to help you in the midst of this struggle. So here's where we kind of run back into our problem that we started with. How does this actually transform us, right? Maybe for you, you really knew these truths. Maybe these are truths that you have known and you've embraced for a long time, that God loves you unconditionally, that God delights in you despite what you do, that God's power is available to you. Maybe you've known those truths for a long time, or maybe you've really never been told that. Maybe you've really never heard God's word tell you how much he loves you, no matter your failures and your weaknesses. But what do we do now? How do we take that truth and make it transformative in our life? And we see this in verses 17 and 18. How do we experience God's transformative riches? Verse 17, this is what Paul is really praying for, that the God of our Lord Jesus Christ, the Father of glory, may give to you the spirit of wisdom and revelation and the knowledge of him, that the eyes of your understanding being enlightened. So how do we experience this dimension of change? And Paul tells us here, it doesn't come from more knowledge, it comes from more transformation. And so there's a difference between knowledge and wisdom, right? Knowledge is the ability to recall a fact. It's to remember something and to be able to state something back to you. Wisdom is the ability to take that fact and apply it to all kinds of different circumstances. Wisdom is able to draw on what you know and say, in light of what I know, that's how that fits into this situation. And so what he's praying for here is not that we would have more truth, even though those three truths we just looked at are extremely important, but that those three truths would become something that becomes wisdom in our lives. And when something becomes wisdom, that means it changes how we think about ourselves, and it begins to change and affect the rhythms and the patterns of how we do our lives. So verse 18 has this phrase that's kind of strange to understand, that the eyes of your understanding may be enlightened, or your version may say that the eyes of your heart may be enlightened. And the word really is heart. It's cardia, like cardiac. It's the word we always translate heart. But that still seems strange, that the eyes of your heart be opened. And so translators try to help us understand that, and they put this word understanding there. Now, when we think about heart for us, we just think about kind of our emotions, right? I love you with all my heart. That's just a feeling. That's an emotion thing. But in the first century, the term heart meant much, much more than that. The heart kind of encompassed this reality of your identity, your being, your emotions, your thinking. All of that was kind of tied up into your heart. And so when Paul is praying that the eyes of your heart would be opened, he's saying, this truth that you know, I want it to penetrate so deeply into your life that it absolutely changes your identity, that it changes how you see yourself, that it changes your relationship with God, that it changes the way that you live your day. He wants this change to be very experiential. And so the story I thought of is, you know, when you're teaching a child to use scissors, kids don't know how to use scissors, right? So they'll grab those scissors, they'll hold them by the handles, and they'll just run through the house. And you can tell the kids, hey, those scissors are sharp. And that can be a truth that a child knows, that this scissor is sharp, but they don't yet have the understanding to say, because this is sharp, I should not run, I should hold it carefully, I should not stick my fingers in it, right? They know something to be true, but they don't yet know how to apply it into their life. And the sad reality is oftentimes what has to happen is you got to cut yourself, you got to fall on the scissors before you learn, oh, that truth that I learned is actually really important and something I should allow to change the way I handle these things. And so like Rance talked about last week, that oftentimes we get stuck in this place where we have to learn everything by what we experience. We have to fall on the scissors for ourselves before we trust that those scissors are sharp. And the same thing is true when we think about these truths that we just looked at. God wants us to deeply embed those things, and so they become the fabric of our identity. But oftentimes it requires us to kind of crash before we're willing to do it. It requires us to kind of come to the end of ourselves and maybe experience some really hard things before we're willing to say, God, you know what? Your way really is better. Help me to see that your way is the better way. So I want to give you some ideas of how this plays out in our life. I can know that God loves me unconditionally, But if I still live as though I have to earn his love, I have not yet been transformed by this truth. I can know that God's power is available to me, but if I live as though everything depends on me and that I don't look to him to be the source of my strength, that truth has not transformed me, and I'm still going to end up exhausted. So I want to share with you just a couple things that God has taught me this week and a couple small changes that I have made to help me try to stay out of this trap that I've been in. And maybe these things will be an encouragement for you. So two things I want to challenge you to do this week. First, I want to challenge you to pray this prayer for yourself. Be willing, and you can put it in your own words. It's not like these words are magical, but have this heart that says, God, I want the truth that I know to actually begin to transform the way that I live and think. Pray that prayer for yourself. And secondly, one thing I've started doing this week that has helped me, it's a silly little thing, but I don't know if you're anything like me, but when I wake up in the morning and I just barely crack my eyes open, first thing I do is I roll over and I grab my phone and I put it in front of my face, right? That's what adjusts my eyes to the world is my phone light every morning, right? And the first thing I do when I get on my phone is I check my emails, I check my messages, I check my social media. And while there's nothing like inherently wrong with that, for me, what it was doing, it was automatically sending my mind down a direction. It was automatically engaging my mind in all that I had to accomplish today, in all that I'm supposed to be based on what I see on social media, on what I've got to do in the next 30 minutes. And so automatically my day is all feeding this pride that says you can figure this out. So what I want to encourage you this week is a simple principle, scripture before phone, okay? Now this doesn't have to be something that like you're going to spend an hour reading, but I'm going to challenge you just before you grab your phone and start thinking about all that you have to accomplish in your day. Take 1 minute, take 5 minutes to think about these truths and ask yourself this question. God, if I believed this truth to the core of my being, how would that change my day? What would be different about my day if I really believed that I am valued regardless of my strengths? How would that change my day? Just spend a few minutes in prayer with the Lord and then get on with the busyness of your day. For me, this has been very helpful, because it just kind of refocuses my mind to say, this is not my job to figure this out. It's my job to rely upon the Lord. And so this week, you know, if you get our text messages or see our Facebook stuff, we try to send out a daily little scripture encouragement to you, right? And if you don't see those and you want those, come see me after church. But what we're going to try to do this week is focus these verses on the truths of who you are in Christ. Okay, so maybe in the morning you just focus on that verse for a minute and just say, God, what is true about my identity based on this truth? And then how would this change my day if I truly embrace this as the source of my identity? And no, these little truths won't just radically, these things may not radically change your week this week, but they're at least starting to help us to see, God, something needs to shift in the way that we think. So the series that we are in right now is called Courageous Prayers. And maybe when we read that prayer and you're asking God to reveal his wisdom to you, that doesn't seem very courageous. But let me tell you why this prayer is courageous. Because if you ask God to allow his truth to radically transform you, you're asking God to change your identity. You're asking God to change your priorities. You're asking God to change how you interact with people in that day. That takes great courage. It doesn't take a lot of courage to say, God, fill my head with knowledge about you. It takes a lot of courage to say, God, I want to be transformed by the knowledge that I know. So my hope and prayer for you this week is that your identity is becoming stronger and more true to who God says that you are. This world and our pride will just beg us to hold on to the identity that we've built for ourselves. God is asking us to be courageous enough to trust him with who we are and with how we should pattern the habits of our day. Because we may know that God has to be our first priority, but how many patterns of your day really say, that is something that I believe wholeheartedly and that is radically changing my life? So I encourage you to evaluate that. How are you living out the things that you know to be true? Let's pray. Father, I thank you for this incredible passage that tells us so much about who we are in Christ. God, it makes no sense that the God of the universe would choose to look at us with this kind of love and delight, but yet that is what you've revealed to us is true about your character. So God, I pray that you would help us to trust who you say we are and not who we believe that we are. Father, I pray that this week we would find the freedom that comes in the abundant life that you are seeking to give us. I pray you bless our food now as we prepare for our lunch together and give us wisdom during our members' meeting. It's in your great name we pray. Amen.
Thank you for joining us. We hope that you were encouraged by the teaching of God's Word. If you have questions or would like more information about our church, you can find us at www.robbinsvillefbc.org or call the office at 828-479-3423. God bless you and have a great day.